Everyone to the Jordan School District Board of Education meeting. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2026, and we are excited to have those of you joining us in person as well as those of you who may be online. We are going to kick off the evening tonight with a Pledge of Allegiance from some students at Harriman High School. So, we have Avery Syrett, I apologize if I'm ruining your last name, the Senior Class Vice President, Evelyn Bateman, the Junior Class Vice President, and Annie Peterson, the Sophomore Class Vice President at Harriman High School, who will be doing the flag ceremony, and then will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Rajan Conover, SBL Vice President, Harriman High School. Please restate your name so it gets corrected. I'm sorry. Okay, we'll turn it to you guys.
Color guard to Hen Hut. Audience, please rise. Color guard forward march. Color guard, present the colors. Please repeat the pledge after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Color guard, post the colors. Color guard dismissed. Everyone may be seated.
Thank you. We will now have a reverence from Abden Smith, the junior class president at Harriman High School.
Jane Goodall once said, "What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make." As a student leader, I strive every day to ensure my peers feel seen and heard, but that responsibility doesn't rest solely on my shoulders. Each of you in this room holds the power to shape the environment where we learn and grow as students. By choosing to listen and act with intention, we can ensure that every student in our district isn't just attending school, but is truly valued within it. Together, we decide what kind of differences we want to make within our schools. Thank you.
Thank you. And now, celebrating schools, we'll invite Spencer King, the SBO president at Harriman High, to the mic.
Awesome. Okay, thank you for having me here, board. I'm super excited to be here and to talk to you guys about Harriman High School. As you mentioned, my name is Spencer King. I'm the FBO president at Harriman. And I could just go on and on all day about Harriman High School. Unfortunately, I have a 5-minute time limit, so you don't get to hear all of that. But I love Harriman, and I could go on and on about it forever. So I'm just going to start off with some statistics that Harriman High School has this year. So last year, we had a 94.7 grad rate, and that is an increase from the past 3 years. We are also one of the schools in Jordan School District that's recognized by the state of Utah for having a very high graduation rate, over 80%, for multilingual students last year. And this is so impressive to me because for a long time, Harriman High School has a very diverse population, and this just shows that we've been succeeding at helping these people with their academic careers, and that this reward just reflects that on us. We also have currently 2,530 students that are enrolled with more than 1,300 of those students are currently enrolled in AP and concurrent enrollment classes. That means that over 50% of the students at Harriman High School are currently enrolled in college-level courses at Harriman. One of my favorite parts about Harriman especially is our inclusion course. We have a peer mentoring program, which is one of the more popular classes at Harriman High School, and it is just great to get the students involved. This year, our unified basketball and soccer team are state champions. That also shows that we're succeeding at this involvement program that we've been working with. Going into these sporting events, we have had an exceptional year for sports. This year, we have had many teams finish in the top 10 in state, and I'm going to go through those really quick. Girls volleyball was ranked number 8 in state. Girls soccer was ranked number 9 in state. Boys football was ranked number 5 in state. Boys basketball was ranked number 10 in state. Drill finished 9th in state, and our cross-country team won back-to-back state championships this year. They are also a nationally recognized cross-country program and finished 2nd at nationals this year. Our spring sports are also starting, and while those rankings have not come out yet, we know that we will keep this trend going and we will keep succeeding in these areas. But beyond just the sports, our performing arts have also been succeeding. What I love about Harriman is that it's so unique that there's so many different options and abilities for people to get involved in these performing arts. What we have is an amazing drama program where we've put on we've put on 2 school plays, and we're preparing to put on a 3rd this year, and they have both been incredible. We also have a fantastic improv team that is hilarious. I went there a few weeks ago, and it was such a good show. We also have an amazing band team, and what I love about our band is that we have so many different options and abilities for kids to get involved in band. Not only do we have your marching band, but we also have jazz band, percussion band, concert band, and we have color guard, which just allows so many kids to get involved in different ways, no matter what instrument you play. Our choir and our orchestra are also amazing. What I love about our choir and orchestra is they often host regional competitions. And what that does is that extends their influence outside of just Jordan School District and outside of our region. It extends across the state and even to some schools outside of the state. And finally, last thing with performing arts is just how accessible it is. What we have is we have classes available for beginners, so if you're new to it, you can start up and our teachers will walk you through the process of this. Or if you're experienced, then you can be in the higher level classes and you'll not feel left out that way. So no matter where your level is, you can find your place to belong. We also have an incredible staff at Harriman High School. This has been a year of adjustment as we have a brand new principal and a brand new administration, but this administration has been succeeding tremendously. When I walk in the front doors past the office ladies, I just see their smile and I know that I'm welcomed and I belong. We even have amazing lunch ladies and amazing hall monitors who know names, and they'll go up to people and they'll talk to them, and I just think that's incredible because it just shows that we have such a good sense of community at Harriman High School. So going into that sense of community, we have such a deep culture at Harriman High School, and each year we try to focus on specific things. So I'm going to have my friend Annie pass out some pins to you guys. And on these pins, we have our motto for the year, and our motto this year is Staying Strong. And this motto really, really excites me because it has a lot of deep meanings, but my favorite meaning that it means just shows that we're strong as a Mustang family. As I've mentioned, we're a big community, and we love being together and unified, and this shows that. That's our goal for this year, was to continue to unify each other and grow together as one, as a community, and we have been able to do that. And I just want to leave you guys with my personal feelings about Harriman High School. I love Harriman. Like I said, I could go on and on, but my time's up, so if you want to hear that, just come approach me any other time. But it's amazing. Harriman's a fantastic place to be, and in my opinion, the best place to be in the district. But it's fantastic. I love Harriman. It's been a great sense of community, and we're excelling in all sorts of categories. So thank you, and thank you again for having us here.
Thank you. That is infectious enthusiasm. We really appreciate you being here. Can we just ask anyone who is here to support a student at Harriman High School, will you stand up and let us recognize you, parents or staff, administration? Thank you so much. And we also have a pin for the students. So, all of the students, if you will stand up and just start at this end of the dais and then work your way down, we'd love to shake your hand and give you a pin. the best part about board meeting every month is being able to hear about the great things happening in our schools, and we recognize the leadership of our student government. So thank you. We also recognize how busy you are. And so we're not offended. Please feel free to stay. But we're not offended if you need to slip out during the meeting. We are sure grateful that you were here, though. Okay, let's move into resolutions of appreciation. Ms. Dean.
Whereas dedicated service to Jordan School District was faithfully and effectively performed, whereas they consistently and conscientiously executed their responsibilities with integrity, honesty, and loyalty, be it therefore resolved that the Jordan School District Board of Education and District Administration declare appreciation for the outstanding service that was performed in the cause of public education and hereby express our sorrow at the death of these valued friends. Leilani Marie Asse, lunch manager. John Burnell Christofferson, bus driver. Judy Jones Jackman, teacher and teacher specialist. Krista K. Johnson Nunez, teacher. Lynn Johnston Price, office assistant and secretary. Terry Eugene Shoemaker, teacher. Brad Michael Smith, custodian.
We appreciate you remembering those friends every board meeting. Let's now move into board member recognitions, and let's start with Ms. Barrow.
Thank you. Tonight I have invited Ms. Gina Terrell and the Bingham High School ballroom team to come so I could recognize them. So if you want to come up to the front, I'm going to talk about all your accolades as you all come up here. So I've been meant to have them come last month, but they've been very busy, and they're going to have to leave as soon as we're done here because they have more things to go to. But back in January and February, across two state competitions, the Division II team got 7 first-place wins. The Division I team got 6 second-place wins and 1 first-place win. And I wanted to recognize them. This is actually the 10-year anniversary for Bingham Ballroom Team. Ms. Terrell started the team from scratch in 2016. And each year, the team kind of makes up half returning members, half new members, which is just amazing. And they started as a performance team and then started competing. And just within the last 3 years, they have gone from having one team that competed in Division III to jumping up to 2 teams competing in Divisions 1 and 2. The team is made up of students from all different programs at Bingham, from athletics to choir, theater, band orchestra, dance co, and more. They've also had 2 Bingham High School ballroom alumni come back to the program as assistant coaches, including Sophia Wright and Ashley Miller. And of her students, Ms. Terrell says, "These students are some of the most kind and accepting students I have had the privilege of working with. It has been an absolute blessing watching this team evolve and grow. And I'm so happy to have you here tonight to recognize you students and to recognize this program that brings you all together and gives you so many learning opportunities and a chance to grow. And I'd like to thank Ms. Terrell and her team for supporting you and teaching you. And thank you to the students for your example of hard work and dedication in representing Jordan School District, and to your parents as well for supporting you. So if it's okay with the rest of the board, I'd like to give them a pin as well.
Could they turn around and wave to YouTube, wave to the camera?
Wave to the camera. I don't know if Ms. Terrell would like to say anything, but
great, awesome.
Send us the details. I'd love to come. Great. Okay, if you guys want to make your way around the dais. Yes, of course.
so much. Congratulations on your accomplishments. Good job, Xander. Good job. Way to go. Thanks for coming. You guys did awesome this season. Good job. Way to go. Charlie, good to see you. See you, man. Good job, Caleb. Yeah, good job. Good job, Weston. Good job.
So fun. Thank you. All right. Are there other recognitions by board members? Or if you would like to continue, Ms. Barrow, you can do that too.
I do have more, but if anybody else wants to go first, you're welcome to it. You want me to finish? Okay, I will finish. Thank you for that. I just wanted to mention that I got to go to a little bit of the GIAC event they had for the middle school clubs. I couldn't stay too long, but I was able to take my son with me, who will be going to West Jordan Middle School next year, and we got to visit their table and talk to the lovely students who were there about Latinos in Action. It was a lovely event. I also got to go to quite a few Outstanding Educator Awards that the Jordan Education Foundation put on. And that was a lot of fun. It's a lot of work going to all of the schools, so I went to as many as I could, and I actually got to see one of the yard signs out in the wild, so to speak, and that was really fun because it was at a house that I've passed many times, and it was great to know that there was one of our outstanding educators that lived there, and I just hope that all of our educators know how much we appreciate them and their efforts to provide safe classrooms and quality education to our students. And the last thing I'd like to mention is that I went to many school community council meetings. There were a lot in March. But I always get a lot out of them. I love going to see the parents and the teachers who attend those meetings and are working together to help the students at their schools. So thank you all for your efforts at those council meetings.
I wanted to mention how between our last general meeting and now, I had the opportunity, actually it was all last week, I think, that I saw some amazing student ambassadors in action, and I feel like a couple Portrait of a Graduate attributes that they demonstrated were being responsible teammates and empathetic communicators. And first at the state unified basketball tournament, I was able to sit with West Jordan High School administration and coaches, and I loved seeing the responsible teamwork in play on the court, and also the students were ambassadors. They reached out and they talked to me and told me about playing the game. I really, really appreciated that. And I've just got to say that the level of play at the state tournament versus the district tournament is a lot more competitive. So it's very, very competitive, and I'm really grateful that the Delta Center would let Unified Sports hold the tournament there. And then also at the GIAC student celebration. I was so impressed with the student ambassadors from the middle schools. They were promoting their schools and their school's clubs, and some of them were more confident than others in talking to an adult who was curious about their school and their club. But all of them were willing to practice skills of empathetic listening by by listening and responding to my questions about their schools and their programs. And then the third and last thing I want to mention is at the Majestic Student Art Show, three sixth graders who were school like student ambassadors, they gave me a grand tour through the halls of all of the artwork, and they showed attributes of both being responsible teammates and empathetic communicators with the way they took turns explaining the art to me and talking about the state standards that were met in the development of the art projects that I asked about. And I feel like they were responsible teammates by sharing what they liked about their schoolmates' projects throughout all the grades. So I am really appreciative of the way our schools and our teachers are helping our students develop the attributes of Portrait of a Graduate. I also wanted to mention the Outstanding Educator Awards. It is a lot of work, and I really appreciate all the effort that the Jordan Education Foundation goes to in order to find sponsors for these awards, and just the planning and everything involved in helping our teachers feel recognized and seen and validated for all of their hard work. So it's a lot of work, and I appreciate it, and I really appreciate the sponsors who help provide these awards to our outstanding educators.
I have a couple. First of all, a congratulations and shout out to West Hills Concert Choir, who were at the Advanced Choir Festival and were able to earn perfect scores from both of the judges. Very exciting. And then also the Copper Hills High School Jazz Band, who received superior ratings at the Varsity Jazz Band Festival. And I just want to shout out the students who did that because it was kind of a big deal. So Andrew Bodden, Sean Breyer, Beckett Brinson, Adam Carbine, Owen Carver, Jeremy Castro-Ransel, Anthony Diaz, Jack Erickson, Connor Francis, Asia George, David Martinez, Noella Morales, Eden Nicolaison, Mason North, Jacob Pace, Alex Rich, Jaden Rohan, Ben Rollins, and Cedar Sawyer. Very exciting to see those kinds of successes. I also got to attend the sixth grade play at Midas Creek, which is always a real treat because it is an original play every year. And there was so much polish on those students. They really were exceptional, and I was so grateful for that invitation. And then if I can also echo what a privilege it was to attend some of the Outstanding Educator Awards. I do not envy the job of choosing which educator to honor because there is so much good happening in our schools. But this year was especially significant for me because my big sister got honored. And just being able to see from another lens what it meant and the momentum that it brought to her career was really heartwarming. And so I am grateful for the effort that our foundation goes to make sure that teachers and educators are recognized for the great ways that they are benefiting the lives of our students. Okay. Anyone else waiting to speak? Great. So many good things happening. And we're coming into that exciting time of year where there's lots of opportunities to go and watch kids be amazing. Okay, Superintendent, do you have recognitions tonight?
Just briefly, I want to thank the grounds crew in Jordan School District. Think about the many blades of grass, the areas that have to be weeded and taken care of. In our district, we have many, many acres that have to be cared for. And I'm more aware of the weather than ever before in this position. For potential snow days, I can say that now. I think it's late enough in the season. I'm still too early, aren't I, Scott? I'm still too early. But also, yeah, we've had back-to-back snow days in April. All right, withdrawn. But I do appreciate all the work that our grounds crew has to do. We take it for granted as we walk up to a school how nice they look. And as I've been out of state seeing other schools, I'm reminded how well cared for our grounds and our schools are. So thanks to our maintenance crews and our grounds crew and anyone else who has crew in their title, because they do great work that we take for granted because they do such a great job.
Thank you. I started noticing weeds in my yard in February this year, so I feel like their job has multiplied recently.
Yes.
Thanks for that shout out. Okay, let's now move into our public comments section. And tonight we have a couple of opportunities for public comment. So the first one will be public comment on the student fee schedule, and then we'll move into our regular public comments. But for both, we have the same guidelines. So we love to hear from you. We encourage engagement and comments from our residents, students, and employees. But just a few reminders. The board will not take public comment on personnel issues or statements regarding the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual during board meetings. If you have concerns to that end, we would just request that you email board members directly. Also, those wishing to have comments heard by the board are asked to list the topic they intend to discuss as well as their name on the sign-up document or email. And hopefully you saw the sign-up, the little computer as you're walking in. A reminder to keep comments age-appropriate. We are streaming this, and we don't know who all could be listening. The board does not discuss issues that are not on the meeting's agenda. So the board may ask staff to follow up on issues raised or may address them at a future meeting. So just a reminder that silence by the board on an issue does not suggest support or opposition to the message given. So we'll now take public comment, and we will hear first the in-person comments. And then we'll follow that by comments received electronically. And a reminder that both in-person and emailed comments can last a maximum of 3 minutes. So we just ask you to be respectful of that time. And a reminder that when you're called to the podium, we ask you please to state your name. So moving into comments on our fee schedule, this has been an ongoing discussion for a few board meetings. We want to give opportunities for any comment, but I don't see any signed up. Is there anyone here who is hoping to speak about fees that didn't see the sign up? Okay, perfect. Then any online that were fees? Okay. Then let's go ahead and move into our regular public comment. I have one person signed up, and it's a familiar name. We're so happy to invite Representative Tracy Miller up to the podium.
Well, thank you. I am Tracy Miller. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm here to discuss the white copy paper bid. Just kidding, I'm not. It's my favorite.
Are you in favor or opposed?
Whatever you decide, I'm good with. As a legislator at the end of this legislative session, I just wanted to really let you know how grateful I am
for Jordan School District and for your involvement during the legislative session. Having Mr. Larson up there at the Capitol was a game changer this year. I mean, there's so much that goes on in the Public Education Appropriations Committee meetings. It's not a bill, so not everybody's following it, but a lot goes on in there, and to have him be in there and in person and hearing and what's happening, and legislators can just go right up and talk to him, and we can have little, you know, powwows after the meeting's over. It really made a big difference this year, and I know he's busy and he has a ton to do, and it's a lot of time out of his schedule to come up there, but I just wanted you to know that it makes a really big difference to have him there. And then also Mr. Anderson, I think you all know just how well respected he is up there. He's very, very effective, and just so many legislators that he has such a good relationship with, and that, you know, will talk to him and share bills with him. I mean, I call him to find out what bills are coming up. He is just in the know with things, and so it's just really, really beneficial to have his involvement and his engagement up there too. So thank you for allowing that to happen. They were huge helps to me personally, but just to the entire process and to the legislature. It's really great to be up there and just hear what a great reputation that Jordan School District has. And I was in the rotunda one day, and someone stopped me, and we talked for like 30 minutes about something Jordan School District was doing. And so I love that. I love being able to hear it from that other end. So thank you all for all of your involvement, Superintendent, all the board members, for being involved in the process, for coming up there, taking time to engage. It really does make a difference. So just wanted to pass that. Thank you along. And it's great to see everybody.
Thank you, Representative.
And we could reflect those things right back. We are sure grateful for the way that you represent education and our state on the Hill. Very, very grateful for your expertise. Okay, is there anyone else who was hoping to give comment tonight but maybe missed the sign-up? All right, it's a quick night. We do have a few emailed comments, so we will turn the mic over to Mr. Larson.
Deborah Springer. To whom it may concern, I have recently moved to West Jordan and am interested in community development of the area. As a retired teacher, I'd love to see investment into areas that aid and enhance opportunities for the young. I feel building a field house at Copper Hills will be one of these investments. Not only improving opportunities for the students, but also providing a space for building community relationships and pride in belonging to such a wonderful city. I've tried to list the many benefits that come to mind, though I am sure there are many more. Weatherproof training for year-round practices, reduction in scheduling conflicts, and better facilities. More dedicated indoor space would provide better scheduling, allowing for practice times that interfere less with academics. The additional space can be used for youth and community events and possibly generate revenue. The large open design can accommodate a wide array of non-athletic events like marching band rehearsals, robotics competitions, and large student gatherings, also allowing for repurposing other areas of the school. Overall, this investment would be a wonderful enhancement and offer greater opportunities to the youth and our community. Thank you for your consideration. Deborah Springer. Mike Taylor. Dear members of the Jordan School District Board, I am writing to express my strong support for the construction of a new indoor sports field house at Copper Hills High School. As part of the growing community served by Jordan School District, the school has consistently demonstrated excellence in academics, athletics, and student involvement. However, our student athletes face significant weather-related challenges throughout the year that directly impact their ability to train, compete, and stay safe. Utah's long winters bring freezing temperatures, snow, and icy conditions that make outdoor practice facilities unreliable and sometimes unusable for extended periods. Teams are often forced to cancel practices, share limited indoor gym space, or modify training schedules in ways that reduce preparation time. A dedicated indoor field house would provide a safe, consistent environment for athletes in sports such as football, soccer, track and field, lacrosse, baseball, and softball to train effectively regardless of weather conditions. In addition to harsh winters, our athletes must also contend with brutal summer heat. High temperatures can create unsafe training environments, increase the risk of heat exhaustion and dehydration, and limit the intensity and duration of workouts. An indoor climate-controlled field house would protect students from both extreme cold and extreme heat, ensuring safer year-round sports training. The benefits of an indoor field house extend well beyond convenience. First and foremost, it promotes athlete safety. Practicing on frozen, muddy, and or overheated outdoor surfaces increases the risk of preventable injuries. A controlled indoor facility would provide appropriate turf and track surfaces designed to reduce those risks. Second, a field house would enhance competitive performance by allowing consistent year-round development. Schools with access to indoor training facilities give their athletes a distinct advantage in conditioning, skill building, and teamwork. Providing this opportunity ensures equal equity across the district and allows our student athletes to reach their full potential. Additionally, the field house would serve more than athletic teams, physical education classes, off-season conditioning programs, marching band practice, youth sports camps, and community events could all utilize the space. This multi-purpose use would maximize the district's investment while strengthening school and community engagement. Copper Hills High School has a proud tradition of athletic achievement and student dedication. Investing in a modern indoor field house would demonstrate a forward-thinking commitment to student wellness, safety, and excellence, no matter the season. Thank you for your time, consideration, and continued service to our students and community. I respectfully urge the board to prioritize the development of an indoor field house at Copper Hills High School. Sincerely, a lifelong West Jordan resident, Michael Taylor. Paulina Mangum. Hello, I am writing as a concerned member of the community regarding the placement of a G5 tower on the grounds of Jordan Ridge Elementary School. While I understand the importance of expanding and improving our city's technological infrastructure, I am deeply concerned about the potential health risk for children who spend a significant amount of time at this school. To date, there have not been significant long-term studies on the effects of prolonged exposure to G5 towers, especially for children whose bodies are still developing. Given these uncertainties, I respectfully request that the city consider relocating this tower to a site away from the elementary school. Our children's health and safety must remain the highest priority, and taking precautionary steps now will help ensure their well-being in the future. This request is not made lightly. It is made out of love for our children, respect for our educators, and hope that our city will always put health and safety above convenience. We ask you to stand with us in taking a precautionary approach, one that errs, depending on where you live, on the side of protecting those who cannot protect themselves. Thank you for your time, leadership, and for giving serious consideration to this matter. We as a community would be grateful for your support in finding a safer location for this tower. With concern and respect, Paulina Mangum.
Thank you. All right. That concludes our public comment portion. So let's move on to a motion to approve the consent agenda items. I'll accept a motion.
I move that we approve the consent agenda items 4A, board minutes, and 4B, school land trust final plans for 2024-25.
All right, we have a motion by Ms. Barrow, a second by Ms. Wood, that we approve the consent agenda items, board minutes, and school land trust final plans for 2024-25. Is there any discussion?
I just turned it on just in case I wanted to say something.
Perfect. Sorry, I want to make sure everybody has a chance. Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? All right, that motion passes unanimously. I'll now hear a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I move that we accept the consent agenda items A, expenditures, B, financial statements, and C, noncompliance reports.
Second. Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Barrow, second by Ms. Wood, to accept the consent agenda. Is there any discussion to that motion? Okay, hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. Let's move on to bids.
I move that we accept the Copper Hills High School classroom furniture bid.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Wood, a second by Ms. Barrow, to accept the Copper Hills High School classroom furniture bid. Is there any discussion to that motion? I actually have a question. I am curious about the source of funding being TSSA funds. I understand that we can't make capital expenditures with those funds. I want to make sure that this is an approved area to use TSSA funds. I don't know which of you I'm looking at, but someone.
A very astute question, President. TSSA normally would not allow capital funds. The nature of these, the furniture items we could look at, usually capital funds would be considered things that last a long time and or cost more than $5,000. So depending on the nature of what's being purchased, there may be an argument here that it could be TSSA funds. I think the intent would be to work with the school further on more specifics and what other funding items they might have there to try to work through that.
So can I just ask a follow-up? What is the normal process for replacing worn-out furniture in a school? Do we have like a specific fund that schools can request from, or do they have to come up with those funds out of individual budgets?
Excuse me, both. We have a fund that won't cover everything but can help take the edge off, and we've used that with Copper Hills over the years.
Okay. I was there for my caucus meeting this last week, and I can see the need. They're definitely older desks. So yes. I understand why this request is being made, but I'm curious if there's another approach for funding it.
They do have a significant amount of turn-of-the-century furniture there.
It's true. So do you have a recommendation for how we would proceed here? Do we approving this bid closer?
Well, what I would suggest is that the board go ahead and approve it if you're inclined to that, of course, but then let us work with the school on the particulars. Because whether it's, if it qualifies for TSSA, great, but if it doesn't, then we can work with the school on trying to figure out the other funding sources that would be available to try and help them with it. But either way, they would need the bid approved in order to do that.
So once we've approved a bid, you still have the wiggle room to change the source of funding.
Yes.
We're not locking into that. I'm not saying it's not approved. It said building improvements in the description that I read, and it made me go, I just don't want to go into murky water. So, okay.
Would it be smart to make an amendment on the end of that contingent on proper funding? It's up to you.
Well, that's a good idea. Do you want to amend the motion?
So I'd like to amend the motion. Let me make sure I get this right. To approve the Copper Hills High School classroom furniture based on compliant funding through TSSA or other sources. Does that cover it?
Sounded great.
And I will still second that.
Okay. Perfect. So I have an amended motion from Ms. Wood and seconded by Ms. Barrow that we approve the bid for Copper Hills High School classroom furniture contingent on the source of funding being verified. You said it better than I did. All right. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And any opposed? That motion carries unanimously.
I move that we approve the Harriman High School bid for Chromebooks.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Denford, a second by Ms. Wood, that we approve the bid for Harriman High School Chromebooks. Is there discussion to that motion? I'll just put out there one more time that I would love a continued conversation about how we are going to use existing Chromebooks that we own in the district and are no longer able to use after the legislative session this year. But I'm okay with this one. I'm sure we have plenty.
And I agree with you that I have the same desire.
Great. Thank you.
So can I ask a question? When you make that request, what happens next? Is this something that the board will discuss, or are you just asking administration to consider it?
Yeah, I think we will have a future discussion on this item. I just want to keep it top of mind just to make sure that we're using the resources that we have now at their highest effect. And then if we need to continue buying Chromebooks, which I am sure we will, we have a big district, but I would just hate to see money that has already been spent go to waste, and especially with the life of the Chromebook. So, okay, other discussion? Yeah, of course.
I would just comment that I am not too concerned about the legislation in connection with high schools because of what it rolled out, that high schools will still be using Chromebooks and parents can opt out of that. Plus, we are a year out from getting information back from USBE and then us implementing. So I am comfortable with this right now, but I do like that we keep it top of mind because it will affect our elementary and middle schools a lot.
And I should clarify, when I talk about economical use of our resources, I'm saying, do we have surplus now at elementary schools that we could redistribute out to use at secondary?
Gotcha.
So, and maybe we don't, but I just love to make sure that we're being wise stewards of that investment.
As we know that before we bring bids back, after this law gets closer, we're going to need to have a better answer there. But April 20th and 21st are the days where John and I will be down in St. George learning how to operationalize all the laws, hearing from USBE about exactly what all of these parameters mean. Some of it is subject to interpretation by USBE. So we'll come back with a better idea of exactly what's required and when and how that fits in. In the meantime, we'll be assessing what devices we have right now and how we can make the best use of those. So,
and whether or not there's a better device out there now.
We're always on the lookout.
Wait. Yes, might be.
This just became a whole other conversation. Okay. Other discussion? Okay. All in favor of approving the bid for Harriman High School Chromebooks, please say aye.
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 And any opposed? Great.
Let me give you a drum roll.
I get so nervous with this. I move that we approve the white copy paper bid.
I'll second.
Okay. Your motion by Dr. Robinson, and a second, I think Ms. Wood might have beat you.
She beat
there. A third from Mr. Denford, that we approve Central Warehouse's bid for white copy paper. Is there discussion to that motion?
There's a reason why I like to make the bid. Okay, so, and this, by the way, I think there's one of the largest. I have to check with Mr. Larson. $118,608. My doctorate is in technology. I love technology. I think it's really in enhancing how we learn in our schools. I think it's moving us in the 21st century, and we can put whatever barriers we want to it, but it's gonna come. And so, but I love blended learning. I love that we use technology and blend it with what we've done in the past and blend it with paper and pencil. And I once asked Mr. Larson to give me a rundown of our white paper count, and it's gone up as we've used technology. So as we talk about this technology, I think it's really important that we blend our education. And I think our district does a super good job at this. I've seen it firsthand. And so I love buying white paper.
And
this is like a 3 or 4 month. How long was it?
3 months.
3 months supply.
Yeah.
So.
Both bids in 2025 were 93,000. Yeah.
So I think this is an indication that our teachers are blending technology with, well, I don't want to say old school.
Analog. One thing that I think is interesting about this bid specifically is that it's a cooperative purchase with several of the Wasatch Front public school districts. Is that for cost savings? Is that why we do it together?
Yes. I think it also just helps the districts collaborate with one another and help one another as well, because they take turns as to who takes the lead on that.
Oh, interesting. So thank you, Grant, at this time. I just think it's a fun visual to note that Jordan School District's needs for the next 3 months will take 5 truckloads full of paper. So
that's what I was going to say. Someday I want to be there when they deliver this product. So if you can put that on your radars and invite me to the unloading of the truck, that would be so cool.
Interesting. Okay. Any other discussion?
I was just going to say, I think it's a great math question that I'm going to pose to my sixth grader to figure out how many sheets of paper are in 5 truckloads.
I know. Love that.
They gave us everything but the total, didn't they?
Total per sheet.
Okay. So, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously.
I move that we accept the bid from Facility Services for trip hazard removal.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Barnett, a second by Dr. Robinson, to approve a bid for trip hazard removal. Is there discussion? Okay, hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
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 And any opposed? Okay, bid. The motion carries unanimously.
Oh, I had a question. I forgot.
Oh.
It doesn't, like, I still would have voted in favor.
You now have a comment.
But I would, sure, it's a comment.
Okay, great.
My comment is, I was wondering if there were certain areas of the district that are more prone to these trip hazards. And, like, do they keep rising? Are we just going to grind down to dirt one day in some of these areas? But I don't know if anybody has an answer to that. But something I thought of.
Have you ever seen that before, Dave?
It's where the trees are growing the largest.
There you go.
We just want to hear from Dave, actually.
We pretty much see the issue throughout the district. Like Mr. Dunford said, tree roots, you know, will start them to rise. We get a lot in the winter months, not as much this winter because we had such a mild winter, but as we get the freeze-thaw cycle, it'll freeze and raise the ground, and then one slab will not go down into place. And so to make sure that we're trying to keep in ADA compliance, we're continually, it's just an ongoing process to keep them ground down. It's a lot cheaper than replacing the concrete. Sometimes we have to if it's extreme, but if we can grind them, it's a cheaper route.
And have you ever ground one to the dirt?
Not yet.
Thank you.
If he hasn't seen it, it doesn't exist. Okay. We could potentially take the next two together. Mm-hmm.
I'll make the motion. I'll make the motion that we approve the facility services stadium lighting and AV system upgrade at Bingham and Riverton High Schools.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Dr. Robinson, a second by Mr. Jumper, that we approve a bid for upgrading stadium lighting and AV system at both Bingham and Riverton High School. Is there discussion to that motion?
I have a question on it. A month or so ago, we went through summer projects, and we did include, after the fact, Elk Ridge Middle School auditorium upgrades. And I was curious why that project seemed to be handled differently, mm-hmm. rather than just coming to a bid like these two. Why were these two not part of a summer project? Maybe is my question.
They have their own budget for it now. Mm-hmm. You had it. You were part of that.
Yeah, about a year
we
ago.
We approved that.
Yeah. But that didn't apply to the Elk Ridge
situation. It's a good question, though. At the time, we were discussing outdoor stadium lighting and sound, but the way that the source of funding reads is capital audiovisual upgrade. So I don't know. How would you help us understand that?
So last year, the Finance Committee put an additional $1 million for the next 4 years in our capital budget to address stadium lighting and sound systems. And so we did two of them last year, which took up that money. And then this year, we're proposing two more. And then the following year, we'll have one additional in there.
And so the Elk Ridge upgrades didn't fit into that same budget. It was a separate.
No, it's pretty much, as you can see by these bids, it's pretty much encompassing that budget.
So
it's not that it didn't fit the category, it's just we couldn't afford it. We spent our budget with these two. Mm-hmm. So we needed to take Elk Ridge out of a different budget.
So I'm curious, though, when I look at the title of that, I'm curious if there is an ongoing need, if you were to say lighting and audiovisual, that could really be more expansive if we're talking about auditoriums and interior. Is there a need for a specific budget there, or is that more of a case by case?
Yeah, and there is a budget for it. It's just not a healthy enough budget to tackle the stadium light. So there's an ongoing budget in there that we're able to, you know, maybe tackle one auditorium per year in there.
So what if the 4 years became a permanent budget? What would pros and cons of if the 4 year budget became a permanent budget and you used that budget for all sound and audio equipment adjustments? Talk to me about the pros and cons of both of those. The intent was to do all the stadium lights.
Correct.
But what if that became an audio budget, an audio enhancement budget in general?
Yeah, we have a lot of need in a lot of our systems in our auditoriums and gymnasiums and stuff are getting old. I don't know if it would require an additional that dollar amount. Because typically the sound systems will
last. You
don't
need $1 million a year.
Yeah, so okay. But it could certainly have an increase in that budget would be beneficial.
That's something we'll consider as a finance committee.
Sounds good.
Thanks for bringing that up. That's a good idea.
Thanks, Dave.
And the Elk Ridge one should come to the next board meeting. That was just a little bit later. Yeah. Took us a little time to get that designed.
Yes.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, other discussions? Okay, All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. One more.
I move that we approve the facility services bid for the intercom system upgrade at multiple locations, specifically three locations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Dunford, a second by Mr. Barnett, that we approve a bid for intercom system upgrades at multiple locations. Is there discussion?
I would like to hear from Finance Committee if you have any insight on this and why it came up, and if this is capital projects safety budget well spent, in your guys' opinion.
So we recognize this is an odd request. It didn't go through summer projects. It didn't even go through the facilities committee. We were having a finance committee meeting in the district office, and coincidentally, they had an earthquake alarm that day. And the only way we knew about it was from a phone call. There was no PA system. There was no intercom system in that building. And that was very concerning to us as a safety issue. I mean, yeah, we can handle it as a drill. But what if that had been an actual emergency? And we're making phone calls around the building to warn people. So we just requested that they look into it and say, what would it cost? Could we pitch that to the facilities committee? And it came back. It was well-timed, just as we all saw that our summer project list came under budget. And we just felt like, could we go ahead and put this on the agenda as a bid? I reached out to Facilities Committee Chair and said, this is something we'd really like to recommend that we move forward with, because we saw firsthand that this was not a good situation, that they're using a phone system instead of an intercom system for emergencies in three of our main buildings. So Mr. Barnett gave approval to add it to the agenda, and there it is. But yes, we do believe this is money well spent. We have always prioritized safety, which is really why we felt an urgency here, because of the safety nature of this. And given the perfect storm of, we were there, we saw firsthand the need, it's a safety issue, and we're having a year where our summer projects came in under budget.
I am curious how the intercom system, like, will people be able to hear it from hallways and things of that nature? Because I know, at least in the auxiliary building, there's like a really long winding hallway to get from one section to another. So I want to make sure that with this system, we're covering all of our bases, so to speak.
Good evening. So we've been working with the engineers on this one, and they have designed it to where we will have full coverage throughout the building. So that'll include conference rooms, that'll include exterior warehouses, so it'll reach the entirety of the building.
So can I ask, where this is not a building where children are, do they still follow the same rules of practiced drills for emergencies?
We were there for one.
Yes. Did just not to the extent that schools would.
Okay.
But we still have drills that we do every year.
And does the safety law requiring access to call 911 apply here?
The panic button alert bill extended the deadline until next year, June of 27, and it applies to primary teachers within a classroom setting. So not aides, not assistants, just the main teacher in a classroom setting. So district offices, media centers, main offices, et cetera, where classroom instruction is not occurring, are exempt from that requirement.
Perfect. Thank you. other questions? All right. All those in favor of the motion to approve a bid for intercom system upgrade at multiple locations, please say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. All right, we have no special business items this evening, so let's move into our superintendent's report.
I just want to reemphasize something that was said earlier about the Outstanding Educator Awards. I appreciate all the work that goes into scheduling that. I feel like it gets refined every year. We learn some things every year. And we just had a lot of excited families that came from far away and were really touched by the recognition. So I appreciate what the foundation has done. And like I said, we'll keep moving forward to make it the best that we can, that we possibly can. And they just really paved the way for us to be able to honor teachers in a really important way. It's fun to see the students excited for their teachers. That's one of my favorite things, is when the students are so excited. And it's a nice tradition. And in 2 weeks, I get to visit every school in a meaningful way. And I really appreciate that. So, and thanks to all of you who made time to at various times come and join us. And it's a great time to remember how important that job is and also how difficult it is. So thank you.
I was privileged to see maybe the one and only time superintendent was dressed head to toe as a shark.
Yes.
That was,
yes,
interesting.
Was.
That was fun.
Yes, I was. That there was an aquarium theme because of the banquet being held at the aquarium this year. So there were two shark costumes available, and I was privileged to get to wear one at the Carson Hamilton School for there. But yes, thank you. That was
Superintendent Shark do 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 do. Superintendent Shark do 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 do.
That's right.
It was not lost on me that you took the first round of wearing the costume. I thought that was strategically wise.
Yeah, that's right. End of the day, the costume changes a bit. Yeah.
So I heard it was delightful to put on by the end of the day. Great. All right, let's move into committee reports and comments by board members.
The audit committee has heard the report from, so we have an internal auditor. So there's an independent auditor that audits our budgets, our finances, and comes and presents, and they are independent. We don't hire them. We don't influence them. And then there's an internal audit that we hire, and we tell them, please go look at this. And we ask them to look at conflicts of interest among staff and employees, teachers. And we have heard their audit report. There were no major concerns, and we feel like the staff has satisfactorily looked into each one, and the board, we as a audit committee, were satisfied that there are no major alarms going off. And if you'd like some more details and some specifics, please reach out to Mr. Larson or a member of the audit committee. But they have completed their audit, and we were very pleased with their work.
I feel like now I need to make a statement that I had nothing to do with the recipients of the Outstanding Educator Award. There was no bias in the selection of a family member.
Facilities Committee is meeting this Thursday to continue our discussions on the enrollment issues that we're experiencing in West Jordan High School feeder. We're hoping to make some good progress, and hopefully in the next month or so bring some recommendations to the board.
I would like to report that JPAC is meeting tomorrow JLC building
I was testing you all. We're meeting at the JLC building at 6:30. So far I have coming to that is Nikki. Daryl was a question, and Lisa will not be able to attend. So if you'd like to come, Daryl.
At 7 o'clock, 6:30.
6:30 to 8 at the JLC, yeah, tomorrow night.
So some information that I found interesting from the Salt Lake County Parks and Recreation Advisory Board meeting is that the rec centers, the county rec centers, they are moving. I think that it's being implemented and has already been implemented at some centers, a new point of sale system called Smart Rec, and it is hoped that this will provide more data to the county to improve programs and services that align with what the patrons want to happen, what they want to participate in. When I was at the meeting, the Parks and Rec Department was in the midst of budget talks, and there are three main pillars of the master plan. And I won't give any opinion, I will, because now I've said that, I will give an opinion. I think these are wise pillars. One is to finish what has been started. The next pillar is to work on the deferred maintenance, which is maintenance has been deferred due to budget reasons, and spend where the need is most pressing. And in case anybody is interested, 25% of the last ZAP tax that the Salt Lake County Parks and Rec received, 25% of it went to deferred maintenance, and there is still a lot of maintenance that has been deferred that is there. And if people like participating in outdoor and parks and rec type events, there is a ribbon cutting at Big Cottonwood Regional Park East Playground. This is a new playground. I haven't been there, but I've heard it is innovative and fun. That is on Thursday, April 16th from 11 to 11:30. And this ribbon cutting is really geared towards children. So it should be fun. And then the Dimpledale Preservation community, they will be having their 10th annual cleanup event on Saturday, April 25th from 8:30 to noon. And if anybody wants to participate in that, you can meet at any of the trailheads within Dimpledale Park. And then also, are you up for the challenge? Join the Jordan Education Foundation for a morning of fitness, family, and philanthropy. Every step you take at the 2026 Challenge Run goes directly toward funding Jordan Education Foundation classroom grants, putting essential resources into the hands of our dedicated teachers. Represent your school. Help your campus win. The school with the highest participation rate takes home a $1,000 grant to fund new projects and technology. Family-friendly fun. Race your kids, challenge your neighbors, and enjoy the fresh air. The ultimate after party. Once the finish line is crossed, the real fun begins. Celebrate with our local vendors, sponsors, and community members. When is this happening? May 9th, and the race starts at 9 a.m. And the celebration party kicks off immediately after, and it rolls until noon. And this is a very fun event, and I encourage anybody who is on the fence about participating, do it. And you can register for this event at jordaneducationfoundation.org. And anyway, that's what I have.
Hey,
Okay, a thank you to those of you who were able to attend the Region USBA meetings this last, I don't know, since the last time we met. We are discussing legislative priorities. Hopefully, several of you were able to see the email that showed the materials that we worked on. And it's not too late to bring me your input. Those discussions will continue at our next JLC meeting. So if you have other ideas of priorities that you would like to see us try to take on as a state of school boards, please let me know. I have just a couple of ideas that I wanted to float across to board members. In years past, we have written a thank you letter to legislators at the conclusion of the legislative session, and I have been a little remiss, probably should have asked this earlier, but is there interest in doing so again this year?
I'm glad you asked, because I thought about this, and then I forgot, and so I would like to send a thank you.
I did the exact same thing. Oh, shoot. I need to talk about that.
So. Yes, good idea. Okay.
Great. We will get something written up, and then we will send it out to board members. Make sure you're comfortable signing your name to it. But I know that we have on several occasions taken the opportunity to publicly thank our elected representatives for the wise decisions that they make for the state of Utah. But knowing that they are likely missing a minute or two of our board meetings, this is a good way to make sure that we relay that thanks to them. All right.
I just had one other follow-up to mention, if that's...
Oh, please.
Was that a conclusive all right that we were about to...
I had one more thing on my list, but that was the end of the legislator. Thank you.
Finish your list. Okay. I just wanted to be sure to drop one more item.
I just have one more. I've noticed that on our agenda tracker sheet, there have been a couple of requests made for different book studies. And so in trying to think about this, I wanted to ask, first of all, so about 5 years ago, I think the board did their last book study, but there was a tradition of a monthly book that the board all read on their own time and then included a discussion as a part of a meeting. So let's start there, and then I'll go into approaches. Is there interest among the board in renewing that practice?
I would love it personally, but it was one of the highlights of being on the board.
It was very beneficial.
Yeah.
It was very beneficial.
Okay.
And it was, what was the frequency that you were mentioning that it used to occur at?
We did 3 or 4 chapters every month.
Okay. Kind of depended on the book.
And Brian, do you remember when you and I first got on the board and we read that book about the Portrait of a Graduate?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something. Nikki, is that
so?
Was that a book study?
So before, okay, there was a time. This was when I was elected, but not yet serving. That they just had an ongoing practice of there was always a book being read. It was discussed once a month. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Yep.
So you would have a block of chapters. You would come back and read the book. Since that time, we have occasionally read a book when we felt like it was pertinent to a discussion before the board. But one of the suggestions that was made by Dr. Robinson was that we participate in the America 250 celebrations next year with a board book study. And then there was also a suggestion made that perhaps we revisit a study on the effects of technology use in the classroom. So if you are interested in that, then I'll talk about some approaches. So, do you want to reinstitute a book study as a board? Or would you rather keep it as issues arise?
I would like to. It is something I even put on our board member agenda item tracking list.
Yep.
I could see the benefit with it, so I'm open.
Okay. So it sounds like the majority is open to it. One thing that would do my heart good is when we have an issue before the board, for me, I think it's helpful to conduct a balanced study. And what I mean by that is rather than choosing one book that may be biased to one side or the other, I really like the idea of potentially looking at a topical study. So, for example, these could be articles or books that help to form your knowledge and understanding before you make decisions that affect our students. So that would be my first suggestion is if, so let's use the example of the America 250 celebration. So if we were to say this month we're going to focus, or this book, we're going to focus on founding documents or something like that. And then board members could be given like a selection of articles and books that they could choose from. Or would you prefer to just have one book and we're all doing the same study?
I prefer one book that we're all, or one article that we're all looking at.
Okay. And is there willingness then to look at both sides of an issue? Yes. If it is a specific issue that we're looking at?
I think it depends on what we're studying too. Mm-hmm. So like if the issue is really broad, there's a lot of research articles out there, whatever, we could maybe read separately.
Yeah.
Another issue we might read together. So
that's a good point. So now I'm just trying to think, how could this work? Like how would we bring a grouping of books and articles? Is that something, Dr. Godfrey, that you feel like staff might be able to pull together some recommendations for us? Or
if the board, if you know what you want to read, we can buy it for you in whatever form. If you know the topic that you'd like some articles and or a book on that topic, we can easily find materials for you.
Okay, perfect. So, thank you. That's a big piece. I'm like, I don't know if I'm the most qualified person to choose a book. Okay, so the request was made that in light of the legislation that passed this last session, Ms. Dean talked about an interest in studying cell phone use specifically. Was that how you phrased it? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should let you pitch this.
What number on the tracking sheet are you talking about?
I think it's line.
Which line?
Row 28.
No, it was not about cell phone use.
It was about Digital Delusion by Jared Harbaugh.
It was about the use of student-facing technology in classrooms.
Okay, technology specifically.
And student-facing, not like, anyway, I'm happy to be more, anyway, it's, do you want me, so like the students using Chromebooks in classrooms.
Okay, yeah, that is a topic that I think is pertinent. Sorry, I should have read that more carefully. So, our board members, are you comfortable with that being the first topic that we take on? And then we'll task whoever Anthony delegates this to recommend some readings?
Certainly.
Sounds good.
I'm less interested in homework on an issue and more interested in education in general. That was my perspective. We were doing books that weren't issue specific.
which I worry could be seen as we're trying to sway each other in our decisions. We were doing books on education in general. I did Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, which is not as any, it doesn't, it's not a specific issue, but man, there are some fascinating insights into education as a general. So I would prefer to improve in terms of understanding the effect that education has. Mr. Young recommended a book that I think about constantly about how education has become the legislature's easy win. Everyone feels like they have to improve education. Everyone takes shots at education. And it was a fascinating look at that aspect, that education gets beat up. And yet, when you go to change someone's school, no one wants to change their school. Don't change my schools. Don't change my child's school. And yet everyone talks about, oh, well, you know, it takes a village and all the different programs that the government has put forth to change education. And another board member just did one on, what was it? Kind of our personalities. Do you, are you... Oh my God! What was it?
The color code.
It was like that.
Similar.
It was just understanding personalities, and so we weren't. I would be less interested in issue-specific reading and more interested in champion education and a broader look at what would improve me as a board member. Hmm. That's my say.
I'm not really interested in researchers shaping our policy. I mean, it's great if you want to go read them. I think maybe providing lists to us would be really helpful, even buying a book if someone wants to read it. But then when we have the discussion, and then I vote different than the researchers, then you're saying you're not even following the researcher. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my big fear also. So I really liked how we did it before. We picked books that were pertinent, but not the hot issue in the room.
I see that perspective. I think, though, we could kind of go along with the way I see it is like the balanced study, right? And how I would approach it is we could read articles and things on a topic from different angles, but then I would also want to make sure I'm getting information locally, right? What are teachers doing? What is working for teachers? What's not working for teachers? And if what's working for them is opposite of what the research said, then yeah, I'm going to go with our teachers because they're the ones right in front of me. And so I would see it more as a balanced study if we did a specific topic.
So let me ask this. How did you select books during
We took turns. A board member, when it was my turn, I proposed Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. And so that was my turn. Someone else proposed Crucial Conversations, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did Crucial Conversations.
Heart was the one. That's the one. What school could be quiet in praise of the American educators? Those were the books.
I did a, what was his name? I can't remember the author now, but it was about future learning. That yellow book right there.
Yep.
Tom Dieterson or something.
Crucial Conversations was great because it was about interacting as board members. It wasn't about an issue on the table.
So I think we can do both. I think there's room to do both.
Yeah. Okay. Let's percolate on these options maybe, and then we can come back with a proposal, run it past everyone later. I just wanted to see if it was worth talking about at this point.
Should we all kind of get our own ideas of books and things instead of having staff look at books?
I think it will depend on which direction we go, and maybe it's instead of one or the other, it's a little of each, like Daryl was saying. I mean, Dr. Robinson.
Either one.
So, is everyone comfortable? Just, if you have thoughts on it, let someone on executive know, but we'll try to come up with maybe some ideas and make this a discussion in the future. Okay, now I'm done.
Just a quick update on something that we worked on and discussed in board meeting previously. Ms. Barrow has been working with West Vail to address the busing question, and it was discussed briefly in school community council. The school worked directly with the parent who had brought up the issue, and they have some solutions that don't involve busing with that family. But they also called each family to assess what the situation is and are actively working to address that. So we appreciate her support, your support as a board, and we'll keep working on that. So
that is
just a quick update.
Really quite beautiful. I love the idea of a community solving problems for one another. Thank you for facilitating that. Okay. Any others? Okay. We have reached the end of our agenda, and we stand adjourned. I forget, I don't have to ask for a vote. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great night.